What might a 2017 version of the North American Free Trade Agreement look like? From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. The U.S., Mexico, and Canada have just wrapped up their first round of NAFTA talks in D.C. over the weekend. President Trump has pushed to revamp the treaty signed in 1994, saying it has shifted jobs to Mexico. The three countries released a joint statement saying they're committed to modernizing this thing. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra is following this. Mariel, let's use this as a teachable moment to check out of these early negotiations. What are these things? Rules of origin?
Right. The rules say a certain percentage of a product, its parts and materials, has to come from one of the NAFTA countries to be exempt from border taxes. For cars, for instance, it's about 62%. So the U.S. wants to set the bar higher overall, so more of each product has to come from within the NAFTA bloc. It also wants to impose this new rule that a set percentage of each car or auto part comes exclusively from the U.S.
Now, why the focus on the car and truck industry in particular?
Well, that comes down to the U.S. trade deficit with Mexico. Last year, Mexico exported about $64 billion more in goods to the U.S. than it bought from us. And a big part of that is cars and auto parts. It's Mexico's largest export to America. So the industry's become a target for the U.S. in these talks.
And how are Mexico and Canada responding?
You know, their negotiators are pushing back, for one thing, because this would put their companies at a disadvantage. That part, maybe not so surprising. But U.S. auto companies are against this change, too. They want to make decisions based on what's cheapest. Stricter rules about where they get their parts can get in the way and also disrupt their supply chains. The United Auto Workers Union, on the other hand, is in favor of tightening the rules of origin.
Mariel, thank you. The next round of NAFTA talks happen in 2 weeks, Mexico City. The U.S. is set to talk in South Korea tomorrow about revamping a separate five-year-old trade agreement with that country. It's another trade deal the president has called, quote, horrible. Marketplace's Andy Euler has more on that one.
While the Trump administration is keen on a new deal, South Korean officials say this meeting won't necessarily mean renegotiation.
The Koreans have reluctantly agreed to begin talking about talking.
Scott Seaman is a director on the Asia team at the Eurasia Group. He says Korean officials argue the two countries need to figure out whether the U.S. trade deficit with Korea is simply a result of global economic issues.
Growth has slowed. So a lot of the growth in the deficit is due to that.
Anthony Cordesman is with the Center for Strategic and International Studies. He says the U.S. and Korea manufacture a lot of the same things, mechanical supplies, medical devices. But one of the key things to this deficit is agriculture.
There we were exporting goods that do face tariff barriers, beef and beef products, corn, fruit. If you can reduce those tariffs, it will help the United States.
Tension between the two countries on how to deal with North Korea could also lead to bad blood in these trade talks. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
In the late 19th century, Skagway, Alaska was the entry point for fortune seekers headed for the Klondike Gold Rush. These days, the economy there is driven by people coming for the scenery. Skagway is a big stop for cruise ships, but the locals are wrestling with a modernization there of the port, as Emily Files of Alaska Station KHNS reports.
If you've ever been on a cruise to Alaska, chances are good you stopped in Skagway. This tiny town of 1,000 hosts about a million visitors in the summer.
Basically, it's our main economy.
That's Mayor Mark Schaefer. He's got a lot on his mind.
We're literally running out of time.
Skagway is teetering on the edge of losing a big share of the cruise market. Ships are getting more and more massive. To make room for them, Skagway needs to build a new dock. But it can't do that without permission. The White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad is a gold rush relic turned tourist attraction, and a powerful one. The railroad has leased much of Skagway's port since the 1960s. John Finlayson is White Pass's president.
The proposal that we've made ensures that both parties will have benefit from the agreement.
His company wants at least 15 more years of guaranteed control over key pieces of the waterfront. Skagway has a choice, say yes to the railroad and keep its hold on the cruise market, or say no and try to take back its waterfront. Mayor Schaefer supports the current arrangement.
It's not broken. Why fix it?
Here's another complicating layer. White Pass is the biggest employer in Skagway. In fact, Schaefer is a manager with the railroad, and half of the town's governing body works for the company. Despite the railroad's deep roots, not everybody supports giving it a longer lease. Gayla Heights was one of the critics who spoke out against the extended lease at recent public meetings.
Nobody trusts them.
To cruise ship visitors, this decision might not make much of a difference. If the big ships can't dock in Skagway, they'll just go to another Alaska port. But to the people in this tiny town, entire livelihoods could depend on it. In Skagway, Alaska, I'm Emily Files for Marketplace.
And some of the world's top artificial intelligence experts meeting in Australia have called on the United Nations to issue a ban on robots that kill. It's an open letter from 116 artificial intelligence companies. They focused on technology that autonomously makes the decision to kill. This is just one of a host of ethical issues society will have to confront as machines get more sophisticated. The first time a robot officially killed a person was January 25th, 1979. A Ford worker was crushed by a robot at a Michigan plant. It was accidental, and unlike some future military robot, killing wasn't an option that had been programmed in. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.